sign similar in somebody's yard down the road from Mac as you take my road down. And every time I go by, there's no cars on the drive. I wanted to stop and be one of those creepy people that come to the door. I was going to stop and say, where did you get that sign? I would love, if any of you have access to this before the election, I'd love to have one out here. I think it's a great statement from the church. But I cast my vote for Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice? And we're probably already so tired of the ads, so tired of, you know, this happens every political season. This one's probably the most vicious I've ever seen. But wouldn't it be nice to go in and vote or cast your ballot at home and Jesus is on the ballot? It'd be pretty easy, wouldn't it? Jesus in the Senate, Jesus in the House of Representatives, Jesus in the presidency, Jesus on the school board. Wouldn't that be great? Well, we do have a privilege. We have a right to vote. And it's an honor to be in a country where you do have a say in your government. But I will tell you this, and I'm going to talk about this a little bit. Way back in the day, God himself wanted to be the ruler and king of Israel. And as the prophets heard his voice, then the country would be directed. But it didn't happen that way. They wanted a king, and they picked a king. They didn't do a very good job. They looked at a guy that was tall, dark, and handsome named Saul. They looked at all the outward appearance, and it turned out to be a disaster. And I'm concerned that that's what we do often in America when we vote. We look at all the outward surface things, and we don't really look at the heart of the matter. And sometimes we don't. We can mess ourselves up. So voting is a privilege, but on the other side of it, it can be a curse if the people in the land are evil and pick people that have evil agendas. That's why it's so important to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, let his spirit sweep across the land so the Holy Spirit's more in control of what we do. I tried to order these like over a month ago, voter guides. You ever seen the voter guides? So that you could see. Now, these voter guides don't tell you who to vote for. I'm going to tell you who to vote for today, and it's going to be Jesus, but I'm going to tell you how you're going to do it, right? But the voter guides never came in. So I'm going to be the voter guide today. They never sent them, and they were all excited, going to send me about 75 of them. And if they came in, maybe they're sitting in the trustee office. I doubt it, but I don't know. I don't think we ever got them here at church. So, is it possible to vote for Jesus when his name's not on the ballot? Yes, indeed. And I've been voting for Jesus as often as I can when election time comes up. So I'm going to explain this. I'm going to put it in what they used to call layman's terms, right? But first, we're going to establish this. You're very familiar with this scripture, John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. Well, we're going to go start at John 1:1. Let's go to John 1:1. I'm kind of flipping my page because I was just sure I had something in my message that I wanted to. Oh, yeah, it's there. It's there. John 1:1. You're familiar with this, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then if you can read on down, and when you get to verse 14, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So that Word we talk about is actually, Jesus is actually the Word in human form. The words God spoke out of his mouth. When he said, "Let there be light," there was light. When he said, and you find in the same passage where it said, "He made all things. In him all things were made." So when the Lord spoke the Word, Jesus, out of his mouth, the world was created. And according to Jesus, out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. So Jesus really came from the heart of God. But he's the Word. So since Jesus is the Word of God, would it not make sense to choose the candidates when you vote that mostly line up with the Word of God and most agree with Jesus? Now, so I don't know what you are. I don't know whether you're a D or an R or an I. An I is an independent. Sometimes that's really, well, I'm not going to say it. I'm just saying you have to really vote according to what people stand for. So we're not going to get into personalities. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you who to vote for. But we're going to explore the Word of God today about some issues. And what does the Word of God say? And if you, how many of you voted already? Good deal. Well, if you voted wrong, you're going to have to go back and tell them you need to make a correction. For anybody who has not voted, now I'm pulling on the Facebook Live people, pay close attention to this and be sure to not vote against the Word of God. So I'm going to give you some personal examples this morning. I'm not going to give all of them. There's a lot of them. Some of them were quite challenging of what the Word says, the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms. I really could have dished up some things about that, but I avoided that topic. There are some things in there. I'm not going to go there because there's so many other subjects that are really obvious, but I want to kind of give you a guide or an example of when you go in that voting booth, I don't care who you vote for, first you need to know exactly what they stand for. They got a pretty name, don't just vote for them because they got a pretty name. Oh, their last name's Love, I think I'll vote for them. There's a lot of Loves around Pittsburgh, I better be careful. But anyway, I heard somebody in the voting line that I was standing in over 2 hours say, you know, all I do is shut my eyes and push buttons. And I wanted to say, you need to go home. I mean, we want to get out the vote. We want everybody to vote. But if you vote blindly and you're just voting for the sake of voting and you're not informed, I really would rather you stay home. I would rather you stay home because you need to know what people stand for and what you're voting for or against. So let's give you some examples this morning so you can see what I'm talking about voting according to the Word. And I'm going to ask questions, and don't tell me who your candidates are, you know. But is your candidate a Christian person? And you don't always have that choice, people. Is your candidate a Christian person and serious about his or her faith? If so, then the person you're voting for has the capacity to draw on the wisdom of God in making decisions and has the Holy Spirit as his or her guide. I would rather vote for a Christian any day. I used to hear people at work say, well, if the Christian's stupid, then that's not good. I just know that I'm more comfortable with somebody who's serious about their faith, who can draw on the wisdom of God when they need to. They may not always do everything right, but I believe God's grace comes down and helps. And I know this because here's what the Word says. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16. Now, we didn't have a great choice several years ago when we, what was it? We had a Mormon running against, forget who he ran against. Who was that? Obama. I'm not going to get into all that. But I do believe from studying Mormonism, it is a cult, and that the fruit on the tree may look pretty, but it's also got poison in it. So that was a struggle. But if by all means you know your candidate is a professor and a believer in Christ and surrounds themselves with Spirit-filled, Spirit-led people to pray for them and build them up, then that is a big plus. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. A Christian can do that. And really all men. God would like to give all men wisdom, but non-Christians don't listen to the Spirit of God because they don't have the Spirit of God. And then in Psalm 119, 99, and 100, I used to pull this out, Tony, with the teenagers and the kids when I was in the back. I said, do you know you can be smarter than your teacher? And they go, really? I said, yeah. Is God smart? Yeah. Well, David said this. Now, you don't want to go to school and act like you're, you know, I had to clarify that because I could get in trouble. But Psalm 119, 99 and 100 says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Again, I would rather draw on in the voting booth somebody who is a Christian and has the Spirit of God in them. Not somebody who has an odd belief that's driven by doctrines of devils and they've got the controls of the plane and you're riding in that plane. You really want to do that. Does your candidate promote the righteousness that is only found in Jesus Christ and His Word? And again, that's difficult at times. It's difficult at times. But my Bible says in Proverbs 14:34 that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So if somebody is walking in righteousness and promoting the righteousness that's found here, not their own righteousness, the nation will be exalted. Now think of the opposite of that. If you're not promoting the righteousness of God, if the nation's exalted with it, what happens to a nation when it's not? It's brought down. Brought down. Presidents and leaders involved in founding this nation realized the Constitution would not stand or help us if we become an immoral people turning away from God. I want you to listen, and I brought this out on July 4th, but I'm going to read it. John Adams wrote the following. Listen very carefully. Keep this in mind when you go in the voting booth. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, or gallantry would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. So what happens to the Constitution if the people turn from God and become wicked is it becomes of none effect, and it becomes twisted and used in the wrong way or even changed. And John Adams knew that. So it is made for a godly people. If you want our nation to stay free, the biggest way to do that is to evangelize and make sure that we become Christians, that we have the Spirit of Christ in us. And really, you should care about their soul even more than even our nation, although I love this nation. Now, on the subject of righteousness that is found in God's Word, does a candidate promote life over death and desire laws where the innocent are protected? God has things to say about protecting the innocent, shedding innocent blood all through His Word. Does this candidate want to promote laws that keep the innocent from being hurt or slaughtered? Does the candidate think it should be legal for parents to kill their own children before they're even born? I get so sick of people saying, I don't believe in it, but somebody else should have the right. You know, I don't believe in murdering somebody, but somebody else should. Really? In other words, is the candidate you're thinking of or voting for pro-life? I've come to give you life and give it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us life, not death. Listen carefully to Psalm 106 when you think about this subject and you try to justify killing unborn or innocent people. And wow, I could get into some pretty crazy things about health care, but when you start killing the unborn, and I'm going to get to that subject, and then you start, if you put every bit of health care control in the hands of a government that has a certain amount of money, and they decide who's going to live or die, then it's not just going to stop with unborn. Elderly people that say, well, we only got X amount, we'll save this life, we'll let this person die. I'm jumping way ahead of myself. But here's what it says in Psalms 106, 36 through 38. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. I don't know, 40, 50, 60, 70 million, they quit counting because I guess they didn't want us to know. Innocent lives slaughtered in abortion mills across this country. And so when you go in the voting booth and you want to think about other issues, to me this should be one of the prime issues, because it's so very serious, the shedding of innocent blood. And when we say that they sacrificed, they served their idols, in other words, most abortions in this country are not because of rape or incest. They're out of convenience because somebody did not use chat. They slept around, they played around, and they got pregnant. And now the quickest thing to do is to exterminate the life so I can go on and do my own thing. Not even wait 9 months and deliver it to a family who wants a child in adoption. So we do. We've been sacrificing our sons and daughters to devils and idols in this country. And any candidate that wants to promote and say that's okay, I don't trust them right away. These six things does God hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among brethren. There's a lot of things there, but right in the middle of that is hands that shed innocent blood. You do not want to vote for a candidate that thinks it's okay to shed innocent blood. Now here's a touchy one, but I'm not going to change the way I preach because this word is not changed. I'm not going to try to tailor it to be user friendly. I can't do that. So I'm going to say it. Does your candidate promote the LGBT? I've run out of letters with this stuff. Does your candidate promote the LGBT community's agenda and encourage this type of behavior? Is your candidate in favor of same-sex marriage? Now, you know what? I know we've changed. Preachers won't talk about it anymore. Actually, both parties are practically embracing this now because it's not popular. But my Bible has not changed. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. So when we make laws saying it's okay and we stamp our approval, even Christians can start being deceived because after all, it's legal. And we're ingraining this in our population, our government-run schools, and I call them government-run schools instead of public schools because that's the real issue. They are putting this in the minds of our young people to where now kids coming up in church, they don't know what's wrong with it. If you cast a vote for a candidate that is in favor of legalizing this kind of behavior, you're taking part in encouraging people to perish in eternal judgment, and their blood could be on your hands. I'm just saying it. You know, I've been outspoken through the years, and I've had people say, well, you're nothing but one of them Christian haters. And then I come back and say, let me ask you a question. Have you ever taken somebody dying of AIDS because of this kind of behavior and taken them into your home and taken care of them until they died? And they say, well, no. And I say, I have, because I have. So don't call me a hater, because I love people. I want them to accept our Lord Jesus Christ. I know the devil is lurking out there and trying real hard to bring death and destruction on people. And sometimes we get deceived and fall into lifestyles and things that end up killing us. And I love all people. And I don't just say it behind the pulpit. I have done it. I put my own life at risk doing that. And it was very excruciating and hard to watch this person die, but also know this person realized the sin he had gotten in, repented, and was died a saved man, and I'm going to see him in heaven. Amen. Does your candidate promote law and order and law enforcement? Or does your candidate encourage lawlessness and anarchy, either in direct ways or subtle ways? This is important. This is important. St. Paul had a lot to say about this. We cannot have a lawless society, and believe me, we all know that there are some bad police officers. You know who hates bad police, not hates the actions of bad police officers the most? It's another police officer. It's just like people in the church. It's hard for a preacher when somebody goes out of the church and exercises very ungodly behavior and they label the whole, oh, we can go to that church. So-and-so goes there and look what he or she does. It's the same principle. But Paul said this in Romans 13, 1 through 4. So think of this when you go in the voting booth. What does your candidate believe about this? Do they believe law and order is good and they want to support it and not remove it? Let every soul, Romans 13, 1 through 4, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. You don't want to help that in this country. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister. Have you ever thought of that? God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And no one knows what a police officer goes through unless they do the job. They don't know what they have to put up with, what they have to deal with. I think of the precious officer in Indianapolis. It was a female officer. Went with another officer to a domestic dispute. And she didn't know she was about to lose her life that day. She was a wonderful person. She cared about children. She was a black police officer. And a man inside just started shooting at the door. Didn't let the police come in to break up the dispute. And she was shot and killed. It touched me so much that I went down to Speedway and I watched the funeral procession go by for this precious woman who laid her life down trying to protect somebody. Those who allow lawlessness actually are an enemy of the people truly loving one another. You know how I know that? Because Jesus said, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. If you allow lawlessness to keep happening, the love of people will go, it'll grow cold. That's what Jesus said. I didn't say that. So every time we allow it and we allow it and we allow it, we wonder why people don't care anymore. Because now you can't trust anybody. Is your candidate pro-Israel and in agreement with Bible prophecy and what is said about the Jewish people? Now, by the way, this can get tricky in the church world because you know when you became saved, you were grafted into that olive tree. We become spiritual Israel. And we all become one in Christ Jesus to God, a Jew or a Greek or Gentile. We're all the same in Christ Jesus. However, he has a covenant with Israel that will not go away. And people want to argue that with me. But if you don't believe me, we're not going to read it today, but go to Romans chapter 11. He's very plain about the Jewish people and how in the end they will come in. And he's talking about physical Israel. He's not talking about the spiritual side of it. Paul had a lot to say about this in Romans chapter 11. And he said, has God forsaken his people? God forbid. He's not forsaken Israel. We find a serious statement about how we are to treat the Jewish people found in the book of Genesis as God made this proclamation to Abraham, the father of Israel. And this matters not whether they have been converted to Jesus or not. There is a covenant there, and our nation must never forsake this land. Unless you want a curse on us, unless you want a big curse on us. He says in Genesis 12, 2 and 3 to Abraham, I will make you a great nation, and that is the nation of Israel. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And what a prophecy that was, because Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah and has brought salvation to the whole, all the Gentiles as well. So you have to take that into consideration. We can't turn our back on Israel. We can't, and in the past it used to make me cringe when they looked at oil and getting cheap oil more than they did Israel, and we made all these covenants and agreements. They bit us, and thank God we're energy dependent today. I hope we stay that way. Is the candidate you like a, and I'm going to try to explain this, a globalist? Or do they believe in the sovereignty of our nation? You know what a globalist means? No borders, all is one, one is all. We all join hands and sing Imagine. Problem with that song is Imagine pushes God clear out of it and claims that it's such a New Agey Antichrist song. because it imagines a world where we all join hands and we make a perfect world without God. And that's impossible. They tried that at the Tower of Babel, to build a tower with and think that they could do all things. And God had to scatter us around, change our languages, make nations. And that's why he did it. So is your candidate a globalist, or do they believe in the sovereignty of our nation? All the nations of the world were formed when mankind tried to reach the heavens, building the Tower of Babel and trusting their own strength and intellect instead of God. The Antichrist agenda is the same, with he himself being the one being the head of a one world government and being the one world government ruler. And a candidate that pushes open borders and a unified world system is a dangerous, dangerous person. For he is helping to bring in the Antichrist. We can have allies, we can have friends, but you don't just do all that and make everything as one, because then you got to have a one world ruler. And we don't have it in ourselves apart from Jesus Christ to make a perfect world. That's why a Savior had to come die on the cross, shed his blood for our sins, put his spirit in our hearts if we trust him, and change us. Revelation 13, 16, and 17, if you want that kind of a world, be prepared for this. And he, the Antichrist, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man may buy or sell save he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And of course, we know what that is. There's coming a time where, yes, it will give way to something like that. And if you want to eat, you want to work, you want to live, you want to own property, because, by the way, you got to pay taxes, then you got to take this stinking mark. Do you want that? Do you want to promote candidates that speed that up in your lifetime? A globalist. Don't vote for a globalist. If you care about your kids and your kids' kids, because God's mercy can, his hand can stay this event from happening if we stay and get our wisdom from him. All right? It's awful quiet in here. Does the candidate you are supporting put their own citizens of this country first before other countries or those that are not citizens living in this country? Now, this may sound mean. Aren't we supposed to be kind to our neighbors, aren't we? Yeah, to this, of course we are. But there is a scriptural principle that you first must take care of your own people. Have you ever known Christians? They wanted to serve God so bad and they didn't have a lot of money, and they went out and they gave all their food away and their money away to people around them, and their own kids were starving to death. Do you think that's a good witness? There's something wrong with that. And 1 Timothy 5:8 says the following: "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Whoever gets in charge of this country must care about its own citizens first, or he is a traitor. He does not love his own people. And if you don't love your people, you can't be trusted with anybody else, really, for that matter. You have to, you know what we don't understand, and nobody loves people south of the border like I do. I've made 20 trips to Guatemala and 5 to El Salvador, and I love those people. I hurt and bleed for those people inside. But I also know that while people here are desperately trying to find jobs and support their own families, that you can't just give all that stuff away so people here starve to death. You have to help. I'm going to get too political. I'm just going to stop right there. Anyway, if you don't take care of your own, people of your own house, you're worse than an infidel. So think about it. Does the candidate you are supporting hinder free speech and the First Amendment? Do you know what the First Amendment is? We have the freedom to assemble, and the government shall not prohibit the free exercise thereof. Went through a bad, bad time down in Evansville. I don't know how far I'm going to go into this story, but I bought an empty church, and I was looking for a pastor. I was donating all my money so that the church could be established. It was setting up there on the north side of town, Crattsville Road. And the first thing that happened when I found a pastor to pastor this church and people started coming was I got a letter from the city of Evansville saying that I was worshiping God illegally. Now, this was a church building. It had been there for decades. Because I did not go downtown and get permission first. I didn't get a permit to let people come and pray on my own property. And it was a $30 permit, right? But I thought, this is not good seed. This thing's going to grow. I didn't know that they had been doing that to other churches. On top of it, they had a tax assessor. And so why I tell you not to worship a party, this tax assessor was Republican. Oh my gosh, you think Republican, they always talk about not being big government, staying out of your lives. She was running around taxing churches all over the county. Like say this lot out here, if she caught wind that we hadn't used the lot or had a picnic or a tent revival, she would tax the church, tax the lot. She put three churches out of commission because it could not pay the tax. This was going on down there. I had no idea the fight I was getting into. But I went down to the planning commission and I said, you know, this is really weird. You're saying I got to get permission to let people come on property. I said, does this have anything to do with parking? And they said, no, it has nothing to do with parking and having ample parking. I said, they said, it's simply that you need to get a permit before you can start worshiping and having church anywhere in the city. And I remember looking at them, and I probably didn't sound like a very good preacher, but I looked at them and I said, you know, and it's going to sound wacky, but let's just be real. I looked at them in the eye and I said, you know, I might have been on dope in high school, but I know what the First Amendment says. I have the freedom to assemble, and the government shall not prohibit the free exercise thereof. Your permit is worthless. You can't tell me I cannot worship God on private property. And they said, Mr. Wilson, you need to understand something. We can stop Bible studies in homes if we want to. And I said, I will. And I didn't know what came out of my big fat mouth. I said, I will see you in court. And that I did. The next thing you know, I'm being taxed heavily because the church had high ceilings and they were taxing the church for a movie theater. So I was paying heavy taxes. I got in that fight. 6 years later and $60,000 in debt, I won both cases. I won them hands down, and they had to refund all the money they'd taken from churches all over town. It accumulated almost $500,000. And you know what was sad about that? Whoever was in charge down there was paying no attention to the freedom to assemble, the freedom to work. They were not paying any attention to it. And it wasn't just the D side, it was the R side too. I couldn't believe it. And I had churches calling me privately, pastors, oh, Brother Wilson, we're so glad somebody's finally fighting this. We've been putting this up. We're for you. We're with you. I said, can I see you in court? And a lot of them would say, yes, brother. And you know how many of them showed up? I had three churches in the whole city. And I had people telling me, I want to be more public. I needed more voices. I wanted to be more public, but I was afraid I'd be next. Should you live in that kind of fear in the United States of America? That's what they do in China. You got to get permits to worship. Well, I won that. The second one with the taxes, I had to appeal way up here. And Judge Fisher in Indianapolis, God bless his soul, he said, you are running this like a Nazi camp. And he ruled in my favor. And you know, for a while, I had a free TV ministry because I was defying the city, and there was a lot more involved in that. You ever want to come over to my house? I have a box of newspaper articles. I had a free TV ministry because they'd come in every Sunday to see what this little church on Crattsville Road was doing. I can be in a restaurant. Somebody will be looking at me, and they go, aren't you the guy that has the church, that little white church up? But it was the principle of the thing. I thought about my dad flying in the back, being a tail gunner in World War II, to lay his life down for our freedom, and now we got some screwball people passing. And I looked up the state law, I looked up the federal law, and I was obeying the law, and they were not. I wasn't being lawless. They didn't want to listen to it. And big articles, sometimes on the front page of the paper. One time the police stormed the church during services. I won't get it. You ever want to know, we'll talk about it. And then when I won the cases, there's a little tiny article this big in the back of the paper. But does your candidate hinder free speech in the First Amendment? Do they allow this freedom in our churches and behind the pulpit? Do you know, up until 4 years ago, the Johnson Amendment was passed? And I'm not going to tell you how to vote this morning, but you could not, if you dared cross a line and they deemed you too political, they could take away your tax exemption and try to destroy your church. Thank God 4 years ago, that law, by an executive order, was wiped out, and we have free speech behind the pulpit. Why didn't we? Well, why did the church even allow that to happen back in the 60s? Can't believe it. But do they allow this freedom in our... Do you imagine? Look through this Bible when prophets had to speak against evil kings and wicked kings. According to the Johnson Amendment, we couldn't let a prophet in here ever be free to prophesy that way. Does the candidate you're supporting try to restrict the freedom of assembly in any way? And I'm going to tell you this, and I did not like it. I tried to think of the health side of this, but I really struggled back in the spring when they told us to close our churches. COVID-19's been kind of a test, because even today, on your coasts, they're making churches not meet. And that Baptist preacher out in California's got guts, John MacArthur. Man, I always knew he had salt, but he refused to close his church. So it's a test. Do they restrict that? I do understand the health side of it, but I also understand we're adults. We can think for ourselves, that we're not little kids, that we have to have a nanny state. So that could lead to how many other laws can be passed now, using this reason or that reason or this reason to close down churches they don't like. Does the candidate you are supporting pass laws to hinder your ability to share your faith or the gospel or your beliefs in public places? This is important. We always had that freedom. We always had that freedom. And popping up in some of our towns and cities, you go into a park or something, and they have these big signs. And I pan my brain back to the 1990s when I fought them over a permit. And I thought, I know the law, this could be pulled down. You can't restrict people from sharing their faith. Acts chapter 4, verse 18 through 20. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. You are to obey the laws of the land all the way, unless they contradict the highest law of all, God's law." What the Holy Spirit has told you to do. And that is the only time you're to not pay attention to it. When God says something different. I thought of this during COVID. And some people are still, states are still doing this to their churches. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Very hard to watch them close churches and let other events take place. Let liquor stores be open and all this mishmash. Seriously? That was bothering me. It was. And that is why I kept the doors of the church unlocked during services so you could come in and pray. I was not going to close this place down. I wanted you to be safe. Of course I want. I don't want to be responsible for something spreading through the church and killing people. But I wasn't going to. That's why I adamantly said this church will be unlocked and you can come in during services or at any time and pray and worship your God. Didn't have organized services, but I wasn't going to close the doors. Been down that road before. Didn't want to go down it again, but all right, I must move along here. I think you're kind of getting, I got a few more, the idea here. When you go in that voting booth, you do everything to the glory of God, and you don't press buttons that are against what he says is his will in this word. And I don't care if they got an R label, a D label, because nobody's exempt from it. I just gave you that. But know what they stand for. Does the candidate, oh, here's a good one. You guys may like this one. Have you ever thought of it this way? Does the candidate you are supporting or thinking of voting for demand more taxation on people of the land than God required in the tithe? Have you ever thought of that? God put out 10% and they started paying 10% in their tithes? In other words, do they think the government deserves more than 10% of your money, that they deserve more than God himself? I struggle with that, especially when a lot of your money is being funneled into some things that are not godly. But God said 10%, and I think, and don't get me wrong, I pay my taxes. I mean, I know the Bible also says you have to do that to, you know, with Caesar. But I'm thinking, how dare you demand more from me than God himself? Who do you think you are? I mean, you think about that. I don't want to go into a big, long discussion, but I used to look at this. And you guys are so used to having taking it out of your check, you don't feel it. But if you had to pay it outright, there'd be a revolt in this country like you never saw. Your income tax. Now you've paid income tax on your money. Now that taxed money that you have in your check, after it's been taxed, now you go to the store and you pay another 7% on money that already got taxed. Right? And then you buy property. Year after year after year, you're paying taxes on something you own, that it's yours, and you're still... And if you add up that money that's taxed and taxed again and taxed again, you're not anywhere near 10%. So, do you vote for candidates that push higher taxation in thinking that they deserve, the government deserves more than God? Now, that's just me. That's kind of more from my angle here, all right? So don't take that as gospel, but it is worth thought. Why? You get a better return in the church. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now, and this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out of you such a blessing, there will not be room to receive it. Have you ever gotten that from paying your taxes? Did you just have all this? But you well in the church. But it just bugs me. Why do whoever they are, I don't care what label they have, but I don't think that it's right for them to require taxes higher than God's tithe. Because if we ever pull towards like this socialistic or communistic type government where the government is now like God and they push God away, then it all makes sense, doesn't it? Pay your tithes to the government. I'm not trying to start a tax revolt. I'm really not. We did that over 2 years ago up in good old Massachusetts. All right, I got just a couple more. Is the candidate in favor of government control of your health and well-being? Now, this was one I had to really think through. Was that right or wrong? Do they push for government-controlled health care? And I'll just ask the question, is it scripturally healthy for the government to be in charge of not only your physical health, but your mental health? Because that falls in that category. If they start deeming Christians as mentally ill, and they have everything's all controlled by the government, where do you think they're going to send you? Place they're going to try to deprogram you. What are the dangers of that? Who really ends up owning your body at that point? And who really should own your body? Do you want to be at the mercy of the government where you're in a life or death situation and they do not have the money to pay for your condition and they deem you not as worthy as the next person? I don't know about you, but I don't want to make a judgment on Marvin or Kathy because of their age. We need them. And that's where this goes. And if you really do your homework and study where this has been there for a while, you're going to see the fallacies of it. You may get some small things taken care of, something major you may be waiting a year for, and you may die before it ever happens because there's not enough funds to go around. So I asked, who do you want owning your body and your health, the government or God? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I don't want to turn the control of my body over to possibly ungodly men that proclaim that you can't have God in government in the first place. It's creepy to me. All right. This is another tricky one, because I do believe in, if somebody's crippled or has a problem, that they do need support, they do need help. But does the candidate promote welfare programs more than creating jobs and encouraging those that are able to work and support themselves and their families? Now, this is scriptural. It's very plain in scripture. You really want jobs to be plentiful and people to work other than everybody just living off other people. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were yet with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. People, if they're able, should work. And I know there's some of you in here that have held two jobs trying to support people in your house. And it's hard. But you have to think about this. Do you support a state where jobs are all taken away and everybody's trying to live off the government? Does that line up with the scripture? I'd much rather have plenteous jobs and opportunities for people, because guess what? If you people that don't work often fall into, what is it, idle hands go into mischief. But there's a principle spiritually there for your own self-worth and your own, how you even look at yourself, that it's good to work with your hands and learn those principles, not just have everything handed to you, because then you don't appreciate and you waste it. Now, I'm going to stop at this point. And I could go much further into political platforms and try and see what the scripture says about them. Like I said, the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, I really struggle with that one. I didn't see anything against it. I didn't see a lot of pro either, except Jesus told the soldiers to be content with their wages. He didn't tell them to quit being soldiers. At one point, he told them to take up their swords and stuff because the bad stuff were coming. I didn't see anything against or for it, so I'm not commenting on it. But I do know you have a responsibility to take care of your own house, to protect your family, not to stop there. All right. If you endeavor to bring God's word and will into your decision to choose candidates that are the most agreeable to the word of God, you will be promoting Jesus as your candidate of choice, because he's the word. Now, you're never going to find somebody, honestly, that often totally lines up with it. But do your best. Do your best. I wish we didn't have parties, personally. I wish we just voted for people. Because too many people blindly just hit the R button or the D button, and they don't really look at what the person stands for. If we were made to think about that, that's just my opinion. I don't know how it'd work. Probably it wouldn't work. But I have to tell you, I've been voting for Jesus pretty much all of my voting life. Except the first time I voted at age 18. I'm not going to say any more about that. But I could vote. I was dumb. I was young. I didn't think about anything. I hope you will go vote, if you haven't already, with the understanding that this is part of your mandate from Jesus to be the salt of the earth and to be used by him for good in this world. There's a lot of Christians that don't believe in voting. I don't know why. But you have an opportunity to be the salt of the earth in that voting booth, to help our nation from decay. You have a voice. God's allowed you to be born here. There's nothing in Scripture saying voting's a sin. So why not vote for Jesus? Why not vote for people that line up with the Word of God? Okay?